It is time for the annual Todd Wright Toddcast, where I offer opinions on which NFL head coaches will not be in their current positions 1 year from now or less. This was the spot last year where I identified Mike Vrabel as being in trouble. And still to this day, there are many people who don't understand why the Titans moved on from Mike Vrabel. I had it here. We'll see if we can give you another one that plays out similarly in terms of what's going to happen as far as some National Football League head coaching changes. Let me first tell you about Pin Chasers. They have four locations in the greater Tampa Bay area. The newest location in Brandon. They have had Bowl Fest going on throughout August. Buy one game, get one free. And keep in mind, Pin Chasers does not charge you to rent shoes. And if you need a pair of socks, they will provide the socks for you. On Labor Day, they will do their annual unlimited bowling marathon. And here's how it works. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. It's $12 per person, unlimited. They often do unlimited starting at 9 p.m. in the evenings with some specials. I have participated in those. But for Labor Day, anytime you show up, starting at 9 a.m., you can plunk down $12 and bowl until 9 p.m. if you choose. You can leave early if you want. But presumably, you can show up at 9 a.m. with $12 and you can bowl for 12 hours. It's unlimited bowling starting at 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. on Labor Day at any Pin Chasers location. Visit pinchasers.net for more information. Thank you to the Peroni family for their continued support of everything I do. Brandon Legal Group is a fan of Pin Chasers. They have been to the new Brandon location of Pin Chasers. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm. I am a paid non-attorney spokesperson reminding you that if you are a resident of the state of Florida and you have continued to pay permanent alimony for some time, you don't have to do that anymore. You can't just decide to stop. But the law changed in Florida on July 1st of 2023. Permanent alimony is no longer the law. Brandon Legal Group would love to help those of you who are residents of the state of Florida paying permanent alimony reduce or eliminate your financial obligation going forward. For a free consult, visit BrandonLegalGroup.com or call 813-902-3576, 813-902-3576. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Remember, the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast has been cranking out daily content, getting you ready for the start of the fantasy season, getting you ready for fantasy drafts on similar or separate platforms. It is a separate podcast from this one. So if you want fantasy content, just find the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast via joebucksfan.com or wherever you get your podcast. So yeah, pretty much annually. I don't know when I started doing this, but it's something that I think of annually. I talk about with my fellow football fans as we're getting ready to start a new NFL season, which coaches are in trouble, which coaches may be in their last season with their current teams. I received a text earlier today from a longtime fan of this podcast, and I am a fan of his, basically asking me about Mike McCarthy. So we'll get to that because it's on the list. As a matter of fact, I have I have 12 on the list. Some are not realistic, but we have to talk about them because I think there's a possibility. And then there are others that are much more obvious and possible when we look at the landscape of what's going on. So, again, this is the spot last year where I talked about Mike Vrabel likely being in his last season with the Tennessee Titans, and there were others that we did get right. So let me quickly run through the teams I'm not going to talk about. I don't think there's enough there right now to put them in the conversation. So there's 20 teams that are immune from this podcast. There may be a team or two of these 20 that, for reasons that are unpredictable or less predictable, do make a coaching change by next year. But the 20 I'm not going to talk about, in no particular order, are Cincinnati, Buffalo, Cleveland, Baltimore, Houston, Pittsburgh, the Chargers, the Broncos, the Colts, the Titans, Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta, Seattle, LA Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions, San Francisco 49ers. I think that's 20. So if you were worried that I was going to badmouth your team or your coach and they're in those 20, you're good. Maybe you think differently. And if so, if I just said one of 20 teams and you think, hey, here's what's going to happen involving that coach getting fired, email me, right.todd@yahoo.com. So I'm going to start with, so the 12 on the list, I think I got my numbers right. KC, New York Jets, Jacksonville, Miami, Las Vegas, New England, New York Giants, Chicago, New Orleans. It might be more than 12. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Okay. So technically, was it 13? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're putting Carolina on the not talked about list, which is dangerous because they have the worst owner in the NFL. But I don't think he can move on from Canales as quickly as he moved on from Reich. I don't think he can do it. I also think Canales has enough going for him to get the benefit of the doubt come this time next year. So we'll take him off the list. So yeah, so the 12 that we're going to talk about, KC, hang on, the Jets, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Giants, the Bears, the Saints, the Cardinals, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. Now some there, you might be like, what are you talking about? Okay, so let's get one out of the way right away. I think Andy Reid retires at the end of this coming season. I don't have anything hard and fast. I'm not breaking news. But we've wondered about this progressively more each season. When he won the Super Bowl last year, there was conversation leading up to and afterwards, and Peter King did a lot on this when he was working with NBC Sports and Mike Florio. Peter King is now technically retired, and I followed very closely what Peter King did as it related to talking about Andy Reid. and Peter spoke freely about it, said he didn't think Andy was going to step away. Peter was right. He also wasn't trying to break news. The Chiefs are trying to do what no team has done in the Super Bowl era, win three Super Bowls in a row. I think that's a reason Andy stuck around one more year. I think he enjoys coaching Patrick Mahomes, who wouldn't. And I'm sure he enjoys coaching some of the other guys on this Kansas City Chiefs team. I'm sure he enjoys working with his staff and with the Hunt family. But I do think there's a good chance, win the Super Bowl, lose the Super Bowl, fall short of the Super Bowl, Andy Reid is going to retire at the end of this year. I don't know who's next. I don't think it's Nagy. We've seen him as a head coach before. Granted, in Chicago, where, unless you're named Ditka, you don't win in the Super Bowl era. I don't think it's Nagy. Has Spagnuolo earned an opportunity? Maybe. But do you really want a defensive-minded head coach with Patrick Mahomes in an era where defensive-minded head coaches or head coaches with defensive backgrounds exclusively don't get to Super Bowls? But I'll leave it there. I think this is it for Andy Reid. Win or lose. Could be wrong, but I think we could go down this road again. And would it surprise anyone if Andy walked away? Just think about it that way. I think the NFL is more fun with Andy Reid in it. I don't want to see him go, but I think he could. So that's one. Robert Saleh is on my list. The Jets, again, have big, big, big expectations. They're a historically shitty franchise. Saleh's been there longer than you think. He is a head coach with a defensive background. That doesn't work to his advantage. He lost Aaron Rodgers 4 snaps in last year. They weren't going to fire him when Aaron goes down that quickly. But with the expectations higher than even last year, and presumably Rodgers plays longer than 4 snaps, then yes, I think Saleh is on the clock here. If the Jets do not make and win a playoff game, anything short of that, I don't know that he will be continuing in his current role. Doug Peterson in Jacksonville is on my list. He's a Super Bowl winning head coach from 7 years ago with the Philadelphia Eagles. 2 seasons removed from a playoff win, down what, 27-0 to the Stooge, former head coach of the Chargers, and then competed very well in the divisional round at Kansas City. Slow start first few weeks of the season last year, then really came on, and then the Jags totally lost their way the last month plus of last season. A lot of money paid to Trevor Lawrence to be the franchise quarterback going forward. If things don't look the right way for the Jags and Lawrence this year, you can't change the quarterback. You're probably going to change the head coach. So I would think Peterson at that point would be a possibility to lose his job and the Jags get somebody else for 2025. Do you know the last head coach of the Miami Dolphins to coach them for 5 seasons or more? A full 5 seasons? Or more? Think about it. Give me the last Miami Dolphins head coach to finish 5 full seasons. Okay, what's your guess? Ooh, I heard a couple people say it. Yeah, it's Don frickin' Shula. The Dolphins are the only NFL franchise to not win a playoff game in the 21st century. And after Don Shula coached them for 26 years, he was not the first ever coach of the franchise. That was George Wilson, not from the Dennis the Menace comic strip. It's been Jimmy Johnson, Dave Wannstedt, Jim Bates, Nick Saban, Cam Cameron, Tony Sparano, Todd Bowles, a few as an interim, Joe Philbin, Dan Campbell as an interim, Adam Gase, Brian Flores, Mike McDaniel. And in recent years in the Stephen Ross run, it's kind of been three and out. And that's where Mike McDaniel is. He had a four-year deal. So let's look at if the Dolphins don't win a playoff game again this year, as they haven't the first 2 years under McDaniel. Despite video game offensive numbers at varying points of the season, this brilliant offensive mind of McDaniel, a lot of money thrown at Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill's making a lot of money. There's talent on the Dolphins. I think we'd all agree with that. They've made changes in recent years in terms of what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. Stephen Ross has openly said that he feels he has a team that can contend to win a Super Bowl. This from the owner of a team that, again, is the only franchise in the NFL that hasn't won a playoff game in the 21st century. So Ross has set the bar high. He tends to move on from head coaches after 3 years. McDaniel would be going into the fourth and final year of his contract, which coaches don't want to do. They don't want to coach, much as players don't want to play on the last year of a deal. Coaches don't want to coach on the last year of the deal. So if the Dolphins don't win a playoff game this year, and McDaniel's agent asks Ross, hey, what are you going to do about your head coach? Ross might just say, you know what? We're going to find a new one because I'm not extending you. So that's why I think McDaniel is in a win or else spot in Miami. And I don't think he'd be out of work long. Hired either immediately as a head coach somewhere, as an offensive coordinator somewhere, or he might be a lot of fun on television. Yeah, so he'd have options, but he's on my list. Vegas, to me, you don't promote the interim guy. In most cases, it doesn't work. It's more of an emotional thing. I don't think Mark Davis wanted to go into this year with Antonio Pierce as his head coach. I think Mark Davis still wishes John Gruden was his head coach. So I subscribe to the theory that Mark Davis really isn't playing to win this year. And I'm not alone in that. And I think that theory has even more merit when Michael Penix Jr. went off the board before the Raiders could potentially select a new franchise quarterback, because they're going into this season with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. And more of us are just kind of openly wondering, can Davante Adams survive the year with the Raiders, or are the Raiders going to have to trade him before the trade deadline to avoid major meltdown again for Davante Adams? So the vibes are not good in Vegas. I think Pierce gets this year to prove he's head coaching material, and I'm not sure he is. New England promoted Jerod Mayo as their head coach because we learned that he was the head coach in waiting for whenever Kraft and Belichick decided not to do business together anymore. So Kraft stayed true to his word to Mayo, and for that, I commend him. However, what do any of us have to go on that Mayo is going to be a successful coach? And when we look at the New England Patriots, what do we see? Do we see a roster that we think is in the Belichick book? They talk about in the successful years, it's not about the most talented 53, it's about having the right 53. I don't think they're anywhere close. So it's not like we expect to see great things from the Patriots this year. But if we see obvious bad things from the Patriots this year, where we certainly don't look at the head coach and say they're moving in any particular direction or nothing to get excited about for the future, I could see that being a one and done for Mayo. The Patriot way just got Vrabel fired. Previous to that, it got Matt Patricia fired from his job in Detroit. Bill Belichick's out. Josh McDaniels crashed and burned twice as a head coach, and now you're cutting from that tree again with Mayo. The Patriot way without Tom Brady doesn't look like a way to win. And last time I checked, he's not on the Patriots roster. So I think Mayo could be held accountable for a bad Patriots season. And then Bob Kraft goes and gets a head coach with an offensive background to develop his future franchise quarterback that he just drafted. Which brings us to the Giants. They have major quarterback issues. We kind of know that going into the season. They're as stuck with Daniel Jones, seemingly, as Dallas is stuck with Dak Prescott. I know Prescott is much more productive in the regular season than Daniel Jones, but this just in, over the last 2 years, they have the same number of playoff wins. Prescott has one, and Daniel Jones has one in the last two seasons. And I don't expect Daniel Jones to be the quarterback of the Giants next year. Is the bad quarterback situation enough of a crutch for the Giants organization to fall on to say, okay, Dable, who do you want? Who can we get? The Giants appeared to be in position to draft a quarterback this year. They didn't do it. Apparently, they made some calls, might have even had the opportunity. Ironically, it felt like it might have been a move for J.J. McCarthy. I don't know how much they were in the mix for Drake May. I didn't hear anything on Michael Penix. But now is that just shelved for a year? And Dable will get his guy next year. Or with another embarrassingly bad season in New York, will Dable be held accountable? Because at times, Dable being front and center as a head coach hasn't come across very well. I still remember talking to Doc Rivers in his office after his first year as head coach of an NBA team with the Orlando Magic. And I just said, what's the biggest difference between being a head coach now? And he just said all the other stuff. And Dable doesn't seem to handle the other stuff very well. Chicago, I think with all the expectations, your franchise quarterback is in place. There's a lot of offensive weapons there. The defense played very well at the end of last season. So if the Bears do not realize those expectations, I think they could move on from Eberflus. The Halas family doesn't tend to make coaching moves during the season. But I mean, without a very good year, I would imagine the Bears would go out and get a head coach with an offensive background who can work with Caleb Williams if they feel that will make them better and make him better going forward. I don't think Eberflus is anything more than a defensive play caller. And the last I heard, he wasn't going to do that this year. And the reason why their defense played so good last year is because he became the defensive play caller again when the Bears HR department said, you're getting rid of your defensive coordinator and play caller. So I think Eberflus is basically above his pay grade as an NFL head coach. And now with a franchise quarterback and all this talent on offense, he will be held accountable if the team doesn't win. New Orleans, Dennis Allen strikes me as the first to go. He's maintained an office with the New Orleans Saints for some time. He had one stint, then went away, then he came back. He is on a run of 10 straight years, either in a defensive coaching capacity or a head coaching capacity with the New Orleans Saints organization. Ownership obviously has been very comfortable with him. They know him well. He managed basically a 500 record last year, but Dennis Allen was not a winning head coach with the Raiders a while back. It felt like when Peyton finally stepped away and we went down that road for a couple of years, like we did with Andy Reid, you know, what's going to happen here? That the Saints just wanted to promote from within. They liked enough of Dennis Allen. He's a head coach with a defensive background. That's not good. That's a continued theme of this podcast. He's got an overpaid free agent quarterback. He doesn't really seem to have a healthy young running back who can get yards between the tackles on first or second down. I just don't see it. And I don't think 9-8 and no playoff berth brings him back again. I think he could be the first to go because are you ready for these are the Saints' first seven games? They host the Panthers in week one. Now, I think the Saints will win that game, but if they don't, that's a very bad sign. And if they don't win that one, stop me when you think they'll win any of the next five. They are at Dallas, then they host Philly, then they're at the Falcons, then they're at Kansas City, then they host the Buccaneers. So, a very likely scenario there that the Saints are 1-5. Best case scenario, 2-4. And then after that game against the Buccaneers, on a short week, on a Thursday night, coming into the Superdome, Sean Payton with a rookie quarterback. Ooh, that has the feel of a Waterloo game for Dennis Allen, doesn't it? You lose that one to fall to 2-5 or 1-6. Dare I say 0-7? That's it. It's over. Arizona, it would only be the end of the second year for the current head coach. What is it? Jonathan Gannon, the former Eagles defensive coordinator. There's not a lot I like about Gannon. Now, granted, the Cardinals played hard last year. They competed. But as I often say about baseball, it applies to football as well. The more close games you lose, the more close games you're going to lose. So the fact that they played hard is one thing, but you have to win. And I don't see what a couple of four-win seasons here for Arizona. Again, head coach with a defensive background. No one can even name you their offensive coordinator and play caller. Kyler Murray, to me, is the garbage time machine of fantasy football quarterbacks. They did draft Marvin Harrison. I think their general manager made a mistake when he traded out of the number three spot in the NFL draft in 2023. And I know he got a package of other things, but he basically traded the opportunity to take the Defensive Rookie of the Year, and he moved down 24 spots the next season. And why don't you take a look at some of the players that the Cardinals didn't take at 27 and around the 27th pick instead of who they did. So it's easy to not like the Cardinals because the Cardinals so rarely have been a factor in terms of being a Super Bowl contender. And much as I said about the Patriot way and Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald is not on the roster. So Gannon could be out after 2 years. Probably no surprise to you, not just coming from me. I think this is it for McCarthy in Dallas. I don't think Jerry will fire him during the season. Jerry's only done that once. It was right in the middle of the season. And he had Jason Garrett ready to go. And Jerry has and still loves Jason Garrett. And the plan was for Jason Garrett to be the next head coach of the Cowboys. And at the midpoint of that particular season, Jerry felt, let's do it. There is no one like that currently on Mike McCarthy's staff. You could bring up Zimmer has head coaching experience. Yes, he does. But that's not a Jason Garrett situation. So I do think, other than a Super Bowl run, McCarthy is out at the end of this season. And I wonder if Jerry already has a plan in place for who takes over in 2025. We'll save that for a future podcast. And the last team I identify is Philly, only because they've changed both coordinators the last 2 years. They're an exceptionally talented football team. They have gone to more conference title games than any NFC team in the 21st century. They are the opposite of the Dolphins. The Dolphins haven't won a playoff game in the 21st century. The Eagles have gone to more NFC title games than anyone in the 21st century. Super Bowl appearance, 1 year removed. A team that just didn't have it or didn't have enough want to or was gassed mentally, physically. So the coordinators have changed. Is Sirianni more of a CEO rather than a coach? You know, is he trying to do these Eberflus things and Sirianni is above his pay grade? With a bad year, if the Eagles don't win the division — they didn't win the division last year, Dallas did, and then the Eagles got their ass kicked in the opening round of the playoffs, just like Dallas did — but if the Eagles don't win the division and don't win a playoff game, I could make a case that Sirianni is out. Because by that point, off a good year for Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley, what's your excuse? And Kellen Moore, there will be calls to the Eagles to interview Kellen Moore as a potential head coaching candidate, and one of them may be coming from Jerry Jones. One of them may be coming from Mark Davis. One of them may be coming, or any of these other teams that we've already talked about. So the Eagles may be in that position where do we lose Kellen Moore, or do we just promote him and make him our new head coach? Is that what we do? Now, there's a scenario where they would lose Moore, lose Sirianni, and they have somebody else in mind. But there are enough scenarios there for me to wonder, with a non-playoff winning year for the Eagles, is the finger pointed more at Sirianni than ever before? And more, Kellen Moore being promoted is just one thought. There will be others. So there are 12 potential head coaching changes in play, in my opinion, as we start the 2024 season. One is a retirement, Andy Reid, and then 11 potential firings, parting of the ways, mutual parting, quit, whatever you want to call it. Jets, Jaguars, Dolphins, Raiders, Patriots, Giants, Bears, Saints, Cardinals, Cowboys, Eagles. What do you think? Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Toddcast. Remember, we also do the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast on similar platforms if you're looking for fantasy info in and around your fantasy drafts or leading up to week one. Just find the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. This is the non-fantasy podcast that I do that is now over 300 episodes, the Todd Wright Toddcast, and it's presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. We'll talk to you next time.